Reminded once again, life has its unexpected interruptions. In fact, some of you right now have had some things to happen that you didn't plan were going to happen. In fact, there's some things that are probably going to happen today that you didn't anticipate happening. But let me remind you that those things that happen that are out of our control are not out of the control of our God. Isn't that a blessing to know that God is in control? Isn't that a blessing to know that our impossibilities are probabilities, because what's impossible with men is possible with God, because all things are possible with God. That's what Jesus said. And as a matter of fact, let me remind you that our problems can turn into provisions and our problems can turn into purposes. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Our problems turn into purposes. Well, here's what I mean. Have you read Romans 8 and 28 lately? Paul wrote and said, and we know, not we think, not we hope, but we know what? That all things work together for the good. He didn't say that all things are good, but he said he works all things together for our good to them who love the Lord. How many love the Lord this morning? Let me see your hand. To them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. And so God takes these trials of faith, these tests of faith, and he turns them into testimonies of faith. How many have had something happen to you recently, and you see that the hand of God has been in it, and you can understand that you don't have to be thrown for a loop. You don't have to be set back, because setbacks are setups for comebacks. I want to share with you what the Lord has on my heart today. And it's really a devotional thought that has emerged out of this week particularly. And it has to do with finding your place. I believe God's going to speak to us today through his word and by his Holy Spirit. Finding your place. And by the way, I hope you find the right place. Speaking of the right place, I saw a septic tank crew yesterday out working in cleaning out a septic tank, evidently. It reminded me of the old boy, the preacher that was scheduled to preach a graveside service. And so he set out from the church, just we're going to meet the family there at the graveside. And so he, unbeknown to himself, couldn't figure out where to go. He got lost in his directions. It was supposed to start at 1 o'clock, this graveside funeral service. But it was 1 o'clock and he couldn't find it. How many know what I'm talking about? I've been there too. It was 1:15. He still had not found the correct address. Well, he just so happens in about 5 minutes ran across a location where he said, that's it. He saw a dirt that seemed to be covered up, a grave, freshly dug grave, with some men standing around with a shovel and other people were standing around. So he flew into the driveway there of the what he thought was a cemetery. He jumped out of his car. He grabbed his Bible. He went running up there and he said, look, I'm sorry I wasn't here on time. He said, I want to read a passage of scripture. I'm in a hurry. I want to read Psalm 23, and then I'm out of here. He turned to Psalm 23. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then, after he finished reading Psalm 23, he prayed a prayer. He asked for the blessings of God and the comfort and the peace of God that passes all understanding. He said, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And he said, amen. He closed his Bible. He went into his car. He got in his car. He said, I'll be praying for you. And off he went. The men standing by and the people standing by looked at each other. And one of the men said to the other, said, you know what? We've been putting in septic tanks for 30 years and I've never seen anything quite like this. Septic tanks. You'll get it later, all right? Hey, I hope you get to the right place. And you're going to have to take notes quickly today, because we're looking at the book of Psalm, chapter 62. And 10 places that I think the Lord wants us to get today. 10 places. We're looking at Psalm 62. And so if you have your Bibles turned there, please, if you'd like to stand together as we read the book of Psalm, chapter 62. You're well aware of the fact that this is David writing this particular psalm. It is probably at a time of trials and tests in his life. More specifically, most Bible scholars agree it could have been perhaps when Saul had David on the run, or maybe it was even when Absalom was usurping authority over his father, namely David the king. At any rate, we come to this stormy time during David's life, and we find, the Lord spoke to my heart about it, finding your place. Here's what we're going in the message today. Finding the place of resting, finding the place of remembering, finding the place of renewing, finding the place of receiving, finding a place of releasing, finding a place of reaching, finding a place of refusing, finding a place of rejoicing, finding a place of returning, and finally finding a place of rededicating. Don't worry if you didn't get all of those down. We're going to go by each one. And again, this is a message, a devotional that came out of the experiences this week in my own personal life. I trust that God will bless you and the Lord will encourage you today through His Word and by His Spirit. We read in Psalm chapter 62 and we begin in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Truly. Now, by the way, if you see the word truly, you'll also know the word only is used 5 times from verses 1 to verse 5. You see the word truly in verse 1? You see the word only in verse 2? Do you see the word only in verse 4? Do you see the word only in verse 5? Do you see the word only in verse 6? I'm simply saying this. David, no doubt, led by the Spirit, was giving significance, importance to only and truly God was his source, which is ours today. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. The word waiteth, dunjay is the word, Hebrew word for waiteth. And it means this, it means to rest. It means to wait in secret. It means a time when David is still before God. Tell me, have you been still before God this week? Have you been still before God this day? Truly, look at this, verses 1 following. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. That is, from Him cometh my deliverance. He only is my rock and my salvation, my deliverance. He is my defense. That is, He's my defense. He is my refuge. He is my strong and mighty tower. But look at verse 3. He said, in verse 2, the end of that, says, he says, I shall not be greatly moved. I'm not going to be falling down. Is there anybody here that you've been going through some really tough times? But thanks be to God, God is going to bless you today and encourage you today. Verse number 3, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall, and shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah, pause. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. The word expectation in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It pictures a cord. In fact, it's used over in the book of Joshua chapter 2. And I can almost in my mind's eye see David hanging on to this cord at expectation. Maybe there's some of you today. You say, man, I don't know if I can keep going the way I'm going. I don't know if I can keep handling all these problems and all these demands and stresses of my life. You can do it. Finding your place. Keep reading with me. Verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I like that terminology. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. I like verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And the church said, wow, isn't that a good verse? Power belongs unto God. Then verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord. The word God is Elohim, but the word Lord here is Adonai or Adonai. O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest, or thou renderest, repays, amends. Thou renderest to every man according to his work. This is the word of God, and all God's people said. Lord, we love you today. We bless you today. We, Lord, are a needy creature. I am, and I know everybody here is too, Father. And I thank you now that you know us. I thank you made us. I thank you bought us with your own blood. And I praise you, Jesus. Your word is alive. Holy Spirit, you're alive. And Lord, thank you that you're working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Encourage our hearts today. Break the strongholds of the enemy today. Loose us, Lord, from the enemy's depression and oppression and discouragement. And Father, may you, Jesus, be high lifted up. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men into myself. So God, just move on our hearts today, and we'll thank you and praise you. Meet every need here, those that need you in a personal way. We ask, Father, to open hearts, and those, our God, that need, like all of us do, to rededicate our lives to you. May today be that time, and we just trust you to do it and ask you to do it. And pray that you, Father, fill us and anoint us and empower us. Use us for your glory. And we thank you now for all you've done, what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message. There are 10 places that you can find today that I believe the Lord wants to take us today. Place number one is this. Find a place of resting. Look at verse 1 again. I said the psalmist, truly my soul waited upon God, for in him cometh my salvation. Finding a place of resting, number one. I believe that the Lord wants us to find a place of rest in him today. The fact is, if the truth be known, some of us have been stressed to the max this past week, hadn't we? In fact, some of us are stressed right now. You're thinking about what you need to do. You're thinking about what you hadn't done. You're thinking about how you're going to get out of debt. You're thinking about another job. You're thinking about how you're going to correct that problem of that loved one, that son, that daughter. You're wondering right now what the future may hold. Can I tell you this? God can bring you and me to a place of rest, resting in him. In fact, in Psalm 37, verse 7, David wrote and said this, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. Let's say that together. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. In fact, over there in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. I wonder if I ask you today, how many of you really need rest in your mind? Your mind has been consumed. Your mind has been just running 100 miles an hour, as we would say. But you need rest today. There's rest in the Lord. In fact, John wrote in the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. He said this, blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth they ceased their labors and their works to follow them. They cease. They rest. Can you listen to me for a moment? How many of you are working men and women? You work whether at home or at some kind of occupational job. You need rest, but may I remind you, the Lord does not take us from the work. Rather, he gives us rest in the work. Not resting from the work, but resting in the work. Oh, somebody right there ought to say, you know, Lord, I haven't been resting in the work. I have been resting in you. I know there's a rest that remains to the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8 says, entering into Canaan. Can I give you all a personal testimony? As I shared, this is the message that came out of it this week. Last Sunday afternoon, really Sunday morning, I planned to go down to First Baptist Altoona, Florida. Had everything packed, ready to go. And in fact, we had just finished the last service, the 11 o'clock early, the morning service, and Deanna was planning on going with me and give a couple of days off. I'd already paid for the motel where I was staying, Florida Baptist Convention, $180 for 3 nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I mean, just had everything lined up. And how many know that sometimes we have unexpected interruptions? It was the last service, and the next thing you know, as we're getting ready, we're going to head down to be at this meeting in First Baptist Altoona, and Deanna gets a call. Her aunt's not doing well. Her Aunt Jenny, whom she's been the caregiver for the last 2 years, who is was staying, living, and nursing home in Barnesville, Georgia. At any rate, get the car. Then I begin to wonder. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes when you make plans and things interrupt your plans, sometimes you don't know what to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Unexpected interruptions. What do you do? What do you do? You can rest in the Lord. Well, I thought about it. I prayed about it. We said, well, let's just see how she does. She might rebound. She might get out of the hospital. We're not sure. Well, Sunday rolls around. She rolls over. She goes down to the hospital in Barnesville and trying to keep gauge of that. And I said, well, you know what? I can just leave on Monday. That'll be all right. We'll wait and see on Monday and see how she's doing. I canceled the plans to go down there and made preparations and arrangements. Anyway, long story short, Sunday night I went over to the hospital over in Griffin, Georgia. I could see that she was on oxygen, 90 years young, a godly lady. And yet I still didn't know if it was the Lord's timing on her passing away or not. It didn't appear at that time it was. And then Monday morning wake up and I'm still wondering, Lord, what should I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I go? What should I do, Lord? Is it time for take her home? Have you been there? Unexpected interruptions. Sometimes we don't know exactly what to do. Well, by the time of Monday around lunchtime, I called, and Dennis spent the night at the hospital at Griffin at Spalding Regional Hospital. And she said, you know, her aunt, Aunt Jenny, she said, she'd want you to go to preach the word of God. This is a godly lady. And I said, you know, I had peace to go, but obviously you know that my mind and my heart was somewhat here. But nevertheless, made that 450-mile journey all the way down to Florida. By the time I got there that night for the service, I'm still kind of wondering what's going on back here. And wouldn't you know it, after the service on Monday night, I called, and Deanna said they called the family in. Here I am way down there, 450 miles, wondering what's going on. Well, I got the call at 12:45 that morning. It was about 1 o'clock when I finally got the call. I'd been up in my room thinking and praying. And anyway, 12:45, 1 o'clock, she's passed away. She's going on to be with the Lord. Here I am down there, First Baptist Altoona. I'm just sharing, being transparent with you folks. Sometimes I struggle with knowing what to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody there right now? You know you're there, but I want you to know God will give you a rest. Can I get somebody to say amen? God will give you a rest when you're in the midst of all of not knowing what to do. So I preached on Tuesday night, drove all night long, 900 miles there and back, almost 1,000 miles. And anyway, got in about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock that morning on Wednesday morning and had visitation, left at 3 o'clock that afternoon to go to Barnesville. I'm saying this, God in His grace gives us the grace to do what we need to do. Unexpected interruptions. And today, I believe the Lord's got this message on my heart for some of us to rest in Him. Maybe we need to get to the place where we say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I want you to, like David, my soul does wait upon God. I'm going to come to a place of resting in the Lord. And truthfully, some of us must admit, even as I was facing some anxiety. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not knowing what to do? Anybody know what I'm talking about right now with the decisions with health care and sickness and the uncertainty? Oh yeah, we're there. Lord, give us rest, finding our place of resting in Him. There's a second place that's found in Psalm 62, not only resting in the Lord, but number two, there's a place of remembering the Lord. Notice verse 1 again. Look at it again. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. In other words, David's saying, I remember, Lord, you gave me the paw of the bear. You gave me the paw of the lion. You allowed me to kill that uncircumcised Philistine named Goliath. And by the way, we were there in the Valley of Elah just a few months ago. I reached down and picked up a rock. I said, Lord, this could have been the rock, or at least one of them, that David used to kill the giant. David is reminiscing of how good God has been. I want to remind you folks, God has been good to all of us, hasn't He? Oh yes, He has. He's been good to us. And the Lord wants us to get to a place today of remembering. Yes, in Psalm 78, It was the psalmist who said that the people of God were prone to forget the goodness of God. God had led them by a pillar of cloud by day. The Lord had led them by a pillar of fire by night. The Lord had provided manna for them. The Lord had provided quail for them. The Lord had given them a great deliverance out of Egypt. Yet the people of God were prone to forget the Lord, the goodness of God, to forget His blessings, to forget His provision. Is there anybody here today that could say, had it not have been for God, I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today? Is there anybody here today could say, without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, I know I'm facing some tough times right now, but I want You to give me remembrance how You have provided for me, how You have protected me, how You have brought me to this place where I'm at right now. I've got good news. God's not going to leave you hanging now. Isn't that good news? He's not going to leave you hanging. Remembering the goodness of God. Sometimes we have spiritual amnesia. It reminded me of the story of the old boy that went to a mental memory clinic. At this clinic where they can, you know, let me ask you this. How many of y'all having trouble with remembering things these days? Yeah, I'm in good company this morning. This old boy went to this clinic of helping him to remember stuff. And so he was talking with one of his buddies after he finished. And his buddy said, well, how was it? Did it help you? He said, man, did it help me? It was the best thing. He said, you got to go to this clinic. It was great. It helped me tremendously. And the old boy said, well, what was the name of the clinic? And then the old boy that went to the clinic said, you know, the name of the clinic. Let's see, the name of the clinic. What was the name? He said, what is that flower, this red that has those petals on it and it has little stickers, you know, like thorns on it? What's that red flower that has petals and thorns on it? And the boy that was talking to him said, you're talking about a rose, aren't you? He said, yeah, rose. He said, wait just a minute. He looked at his wife and said, Rose, what was the name of that clinic over there that we just went to? So, some of us are probably there as well, aren't we? Hey, look, we do get forgetful-minded, but God wants us to remember His blessing, remember His goodness, remember that He gives us daily, He loads us with benefits, remember that He's forgiven our sin, remember that He said, I won't leave you nor forsake you, remember that He said, nothing shall separate us from His love, remembering that He said, underneath us are His everlasting arms, remembering that He said, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, remembering that He said, in Him we live and move and have our being, remembering that He said, out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water. Remembering that He said, I am your rod and your staff. Remembering that the Lord is my shepherd. And praise God when we remember that God is for us. Who can be against us? One plus God's always a majority. Child of God, we can remember that God has been good, that God is great. Our God is a God who will not fail. He knows us. He made us. He bought us. And hallelujah, one day He's coming back for us. I want you to know you can reach out the hand of faith today and believe God's not going to leave you hanging. He knows us, hallelujah. And He said, I'm going to see you through to the very end. And the church said, amen. Oh, yes, He did. Number three, not only find a place of remembering and a place of resting. Number three, a place of renewing. Look at the text. Psalm chapter 62. And then notice with me in verse number, a place of renewing. Look over here in verse number 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Oh, glory be to God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever had a car that wouldn't crank? And the other day I got in my car and I turned that key over and it went click, 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 click. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What do you do when your car won't crank? Well, I got another car that would crank, and I got out in the trunk of my car. I had a pair of what we call jumper cables. Got the red, put it on the red post on the battery, black on the black post of the battery, and then I made my way over to the car. I hooked up the battery cables to the car that was going click, 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 and I let it just charge for a moment. I revved up that baby. I went, whoom, whoom,
Whoa, rev it up a little bit and make that chart, you know, that voltage go into that battery. Give it about 5 minutes, and then I got in that car that wouldn't crank, and I turned that key over, and whoa, that thing cranked right up. Man, it fired right up. Whoa, I said, praise God. All it needed was a little jump. Can I tell you, sometimes we get low. Sometimes we need a little jump. I'm looking at a crowd today. You've gotten low in your faith, maybe. You've gotten low in discouragement. God says, I can put the jumper cables on you. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God doesn't run out of power. He'll put the power on us. Anybody need a jump today? Anybody need a spiritual recharge today? Anybody tired and weary and you don't know if you can carry on? God, the Holy Ghost, can jump you off today. And he wants to, amen, and amen, and amen. Well, there's another place that as we renew our strength, remember in Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31, it was Isaiah that said, young men grow tired. Let me ask you a question. How many of you got tired lately? Even young people get tired, don't y'all? Morgan, you and Riley, y'all get tired, don't you? I can look at you and tell. This morning you could have slept another hour, all right? But you just couldn't sleep another hour. But you could have slept another hour. Even young people get tired, Michael. I know you got full of energy, Daniel. I understand, Andy, that you can run and you can stay busy and all of that, Ansley. But even young people, Weston, get tired. But wait a minute. The Word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Aren't you glad that God never gets tired? Aren't you glad that he never gives out of any power? He has the power for you. He's got the strength for you. He can recharge your batteries today. And brother and sister, there comes a point in time, there's a world out there around us, their batteries run down. They need somebody to jump them off. They need somebody that's got God in them. They need somebody that's got a charge on them. They've been with Jesus and it makes a difference. And they're looking for somebody to charge them up out there. God, help us to be the one to renew their strength. But let me share with you, not only that, but number four, a place of resting, a place of remembering, a place of renewing. Number four, not only that, but a place of receiving, a place of receiving. Finding your place, receiving. Look at with me in the text. Look over here in verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Let me ask you a question. How many today need direction from God? How many are looking for the will of God in your life? You really want to know what God's will is. Lord, should I go there? Should I do this? Should I go to work here? Lord, should I buy this? Lord, how should I relate to my children and my grandchildren? Receiving from the Lord. Your place of receiving. I'm glad to tell you that when we ask God, the Lord said he would answer. Ask and it should be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it should be opened unto you. Listen to me. Some of you today need to know the will of God about something, don't you? It might be a boyfriend. It might be a girlfriend. It might be a future spouse. It might be what you're to do with your finances when you're gone. But let me tell you something. How many know that you can't steer a parked car? Have you ever tried to turn a parked car? Have you ever tried to get in a car when it was not running and try to turn that wheel? You can't steer it. Why not? It's got to be running. Can I tell you something? The Lord spoke my heart about this. Sometimes we want to know the will of God. But if we're not serving the Lord and moving in the direction of God's will for our life right now, what makes us think that God's going to break through the clouds of glory and reveal his will to us if we're not being obedient right where he's got us? Somebody say amen. You see, we got to be faithful over a few things. He said, and then I'll make you rule over many. And of course, that's in the context of the future as well as the present, practically speaking. Tell me, are you moving in the will of God right now? Tell me, is your car off? Are you sitting there and you want God to show you all this stuff and you're just trying to want God to do all this stuff in your life, but you're not being willing to be obedient to God right where he's got you right now? Can I tell you this? We're to blossom where God has us. And I love the story of the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Do you remember over there? Abraham had a servant. His name was Eliezer. Let's say that together. Eliezer. One more time. Eliezer. It's in Genesis 24. And you know what Abraham wanted to do? He wanted to find a wife for his son Isaac. There's a great principle in Genesis 24. You know what his servant did? He sent him out and said, go find a wife for my son Isaac. Well, how was he going to know who she was? How did he know where to go? What was going to be the confirmation? I mean, where was he going to get direction? The Word of God says in the book of Genesis 24, he being in the way, the Lord led him. He being in the way, the Lord led him. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, if I sit down at this well, and there's a lady that comes up this well, I've got 10 camels with me. How many know that camels drink a lot of water? We're told about 20 to 30 gallons of water per camel. He said, Lord, if a lady comes up here to the well and she offers to give my camels water and then give me water, I know she's the one. Well, guess who showed up at the well that day? It was Rebecca. She offered to give his camels water and he water as well. Do you realize how long that would have taken? About an hour and a half to 2 hours to give all them camels water. I'd say that was a woman of charm. I'd say that was a woman who was willing to go the extra mile. I'd say to you that that was God's confirmation that that was Isaac's future wife, Rebecca. He being in the way, the Lord led him. I'm saying this, today you can come to your place of receiving from the Lord. The Bible says this is the way, walk you in it. And the psalmist, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4, in chapter 4 and verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light that goeth more and more unto the perfect day. It was Paul who wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He said this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. David wrote in Psalm 37 and verse 25, verse 23 and 24. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way, and though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. How many want a confirmation from God that you're right where God wants you? I'm telling you, folks, it's important to be in the will of God, right where God wants you, and you don't have to be afraid. Did you hear about the old boy, by the way, that had an incident happen to him? Speaking of unexpected interruption, he had a knock at the door. It was midnight. He went to the door. It was a 6-foot cockroach. And the cockroach looked at the man, punched him right in the eye. The man couldn't believe it, and the cockroach ran off. The next night, same time, knocked on the door. Went to the door, and the cockroach, 6 foot tall, kicked him right in the knee. Man couldn't believe it. Cockroach ran off. The next night, the third night, a knock at the door. He opened the door. It's that 6 foot cockroach again. And the cockroach kicked him, and the cockroach hit him, and the cockroach stuck him and ran off. The man was struggling. He fell to his knees. He made his way over to the telephone. He called 911 and said, I need help. And then he went down to the hospital. The doctor looked at him and said, what happened? The man told him, I had a 6-foot cockroach to hit me and to kick me and to stick me. He said, what do you think, doc? And the doc said, I've heard there's a nasty bug running around. A nasty bug. All right, you'll get it later. Hey, look, number 5. Not only a place of resting and a place of remembering and a place of renewing and a place of receiving, but what about a place of releasing, releasing, releasing? I'm talking about finding your place today. I'm talking about resting in the Lord. Where am I talking about releasing? I'm glad you asked, because look over here in verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Releasing. Releasing the hurt of the past, releasing the stress and the pressure. I tell you what, how many have been sad lately? Now, I know you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to say. Sad, S-A-D, seasonal attention disorder. This time of the year, January, February, it's cold, you've been inside, you're just feeling the, I start to say January blues, should I say February blues? Today's February the 1st. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been down, haven't you? You've been discouraged. You don't know why you've been discouraged. You don't know why you haven't been more cheerful. You don't know why you hadn't had more peace. You're not really sure why you feel the way you do. Well, guess what? You can release that care and that burden. May I remind you, Peter wrote and said, cast all your care upon the Lord. That's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Some of you need to do that today, don't you? Yeah, you've been down. You can pretend like you hadn't. You can pretend like you've not had the blues. You can pretend like Christmas is not over and that you stay this way all the time. But God knows our heart. And you can release that worry and that tension and that stress that keeps on hanging on you. I love the book of Matthew chapter 6. How many remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Remember chapter 6? Remember what he said about the birds? Remember what he said about the lilies of the field? He said, hey, look at them. The birds aren't worried about where they're getting their food. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And the lilies of the field, they're not worried about where they're getting their clothes. Your heavenly Father clothes them. Oh, how much more are you important, said the Lord, in other passages, are you than the birds and the lilies? In fact, he said, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the day thereof. And then he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I just quoted Matthew 6 and 34. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Is there anybody here today that'll be honest with God and say, God, I need to find a place of rest. I need to find a place of remembering. I need to find a place of renewing. I need to find a place of receiving. I need to find a place of releasing. Lord, and then not only that, but number 6, I need to find a place of refusing. And then look at the text again. Find the text again. And it's found in verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They're altogether lighter than vanity. I need a time of refusing to give into the flesh. Can I write you some verses down, or may I share some verses you can write down? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 through 26. Ephesians 4, verse 24 through 26. Paul wrote and said this, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and in true holiness. May I remind you that Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. He said, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Refusing to give in. You see, today, if the devil has his way, he's going to heap all kind of condemnation, all kind of guilt, all kinds of worry. And if we're not careful, the flesh is going to give in. But oh, refuse it. Refuse it. No, you're not going to give in to that. No. And because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But let me go back to another place that you can find today. Not only a place of renewing and remembering and receiving and refusing. But wait a minute, there's another place you can find. You know what it is? Reaching. Look at the text. Reaching. We'll reach who? Look over here and verse number 8. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 62. And by the way, again, I didn't read this out of a book. I didn't copy this outline from anybody. The Lord gave me this. I'm not saying it to brag or boast, but all of this came out of this week of a devotional thought to you today. Things I was going through in my own personal life. Now, look at the word reaching. Verse number 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Look at that. Trust in him. How long? At all times. You people. And here's what I think the Lord was saying to me. Reach out. Reach out. You see, you can find your place of reaching people, reaching out. Well, what do I mean? Can I tell you what happened to me just a couple of weeks ago? Speaking of reaching out, I'm telling you, opportunities are coming our way all the time. Today, God will bring somebody across your path that you can perhaps bear a burden with. Maybe you can pray for them. Maybe you can encourage them. I don't know, but I know this. It might be your family. It might be a neighbor. It might be somebody else. I don't know, but I know this. If we have our spiritual antennas out, we'll be ready when God brings us to that place. A couple of weeks ago, I was with Mr. Brother Jimmy Dracos. Jimmy just got saved, 84 years old. He's been coming to the church here for a year. God's done a work in his life. He goes with me on Thursday, usually over to the Muse and Social Circle. And then afterwards we go, and he usually gets a bite to eat, and I sit there in fellowship with him, answer questions, and disciple as he is enjoying his meal. Well, it was raining this day a couple of weeks ago. It was cold. It was rainy. I said, Brother Jimmy, I'll tell you what. He said, I've got to go to the store. I got to get some groceries. I said, well, no need for you to drive all the way back up here to Covington. I'll just drop you off by Kroger. You can go in and get your groceries. And I'll go in and visit somebody over at Ace Hardware. I'm not going to tell you who it was. But anyway, Ace Hardware. A man there that I'd talked with, met, and just wanted to go by and see how he was doing. So I went over to Ace Hardware, and I asked him, I said, is Mr. So-and-so here? They said, no, he's not here. And guess who I met? There was a man at Ace Hardware, and I began to talk with him, and next thing you know, he tells me, I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, yes, I'm a Christian, but I've gone through some things in my life, and I'm going through a hard time, and my wife died just a couple of years ago, or about a year or so ago. She's 39 years old, and he said, I've got 3 children. It was tragic. It was sudden. She was supposed to get help. She couldn't get help. Insurance fell through. They misdiagnosed it. And he said, honestly, Pastor, he said, I'm having a tough time with all of this. And I heard his heart break. I looked in his eyes and see he was very distraught, understandably so. And I'm thinking, Lord, what would you have me to say to him? And I just shared with him. I said, well, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know this. I know God can care for you, and I know the Lord is there for you, and I know those children and come find out just who the children are. One of those daughters' name's Alyssa. I had the privilege of picking her up on the van for about 2 or 3 years. He told me, he said, I live right there on Herd Creek Road. I said, really? Yeah. And he told me his other daughter named Addison, and then his son. He has 3 children. His wife passed away, as I mentioned a moment ago. I didn't know what to say, but I just said, hey, man, and we stood there and talked for about 10 minutes or so. I reached over the counter and said, can I pray for you, Gary? He said, he hesitated first, then he said, yeah, you can. Never met him before. I'd seen his face, but never met him before. Prayed with him right there at Ace Hardware. How many believe you can pray with people at the store, amen? Come on. God still shows up at stores. And I said, Gary, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to spend some time with you. Don't you know we care and we'll be there? Anyway, long story short, had some people to go out it was last Saturday. Went and visited the home. Guess who showed up last Sunday? Gary and his 3 daughters, or 2 daughters and his son. Gary sat right back on the back row where Brother Chalpin sat. Hadn't been in church in years and years and years. And I said, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, reaching out to him. He's hurting, he's bleeding internally, and no one can relate to him unless you've been through it, really. But he came here, and his daughters enjoyed it. He said, he's coming back. I want to spend some time with him. Pray for Gary Patrick. We're talking about a place of reaching. You know, sometimes we think that we're the only ones facing what we're going through, but there's a lot of people facing a lot more than we're going through. Talk to me. And there's a world out there hurting, and a world out there that needs to know that we care for them. Reaching out. I went all the way down to First Baptist Altoona, 900 miles, really almost 1,000 miles. 7 hours there, 7 hours back. Quick trip. Leave on Monday, come back late Tuesday night, preach. And needless to say, I was, again, divided as to, Lord, should I be here? What am I to do? Anyway, here's what I'm saying. After I shared the message on Sunday night, God gave me such a peace. I was on such a burden. If you've been there, you understand what I'm talking about. You just can't, your mind's divided. It is hard to really break through and pray through sometimes. But a young man, 24 years old, came. God was dealing with him, no doubt. His name's Bobby. And I met with Bobby and prayed with Bobby. And Bobby said, I'm not right with God. I need to return to God. I know that Jesus loves me. And I'll tell you what, I believe God sent me all the way down to Altoona, Florida, just for that one young man, to pray with him, encourage him. I said, Bobby, God's got some great things for you. You got to break free from some stuff, but you got to get things right with God. He's got a girlfriend. He's been slipping and doing this and that, and he's been doing some other stuff that he knows he shouldn't be doing. The Holy Ghost of God was convicting him. I said, Bobby, when I come next year, Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come again, I'm going to look for some great things in you, Bobby. How many know that God's got somebody out there for you right now to be a blessing to encourage, to lift up, to pray for? Oh, thank God, it's your place of reaching somebody today. And then quickly, and I'll be done, not only reaching, but also rejoicing. Look at it. I'm just going to have to mention it and move on. Look at verse 11. God has spoken to us once, twice. I've heard this. Power belongs unto God. And then finally, verse 12, a place of returning. The prodigal son said, I'll arise and go back to my father. God came to Jacob and said, arise and go back to Bethel in Genesis chapter 35. A place of returning. Look at this, verse 12. And unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his works. A place of returning and a place of rededicating. I want to close on this. My dear wife's Aunt Jenny. I changed her name from Aunt Jenny. How many know that we don't say aunt, we say ain't. Aunt Jenny. I changed her name from Aunt Jenny to Saint Jenny. Jenny was a blessing. I'm talking about, I met her back in 1979 and 1980. Here's a lady, never been married, redheaded, driving around in a white Firebird. Anybody drives around a white Firebird with red head and is 60 years old, got to be cool. How many know what I'm talking about? I said, that lady's got to be cool, man. I said, boy, I'd love to buy that Firebird from her. But she worked 50 years, over 50 years at Carter's there in Barnesville. Over 50 years. Look at her Bible. This is one of her Bibles. She had many Bibles. That was a dear lady out in the working world. You wouldn't know from Adam's house. I mean, she's just real, just quiet, but a godly lady, praying lady. Look at that Bible. What does that tell you? It tells you that her Bible's coming apart, but her life's not coming apart, all right? Oh, listen. How many of us today need to rededicate our lives to the Lord? To get in the Word. Now she's with Jesus in heaven. But how many need to rededicate our lives and find a place of resting and find a place of remembering, find a place of renewing, find a place of receiving, find a place of releasing, find a place of rejoicing and refusing and reaching and returning, and then finally, rededicating our lives. I wonder if you'd stand together as we have a time of rededicating.